And one of the main purpose of this lesson is to help us understand the idea of covetousness better. And most of us are well acquainted with the situation that we have just read here with Ahab and Naboth. It is my hope that both at the end of this lesson and at the end of the second part, we will get a better idea to understand better the difference between desire and inordinate desire. That is, legitimate, healthy desire and desire that creates problem between us and the Almighty God. Desire, or mere desire, or desire in the abstract, that is just wanting something abstractly, is not sinful, and it is not covetousness. I repeat, mere desire. You or I just wanting something, that of itself is not covetousness. If a person had no desire to possess anything beyond what he or she has acquired, if that is the case, where I have my Bible and my lamp and I want nothing else, if the world was like that, there would be no motive to trade. The reason the world run the way it run, even from creation, it's where one person have a few goats, but he feel that if he has a cow, it would help his situation. So he comes to you and say, I will give you three of my goat for one of your cow. That is what we call fair trade. That is not covetousness. What we today call commerce is really what old time people call swap. Truly. For example, when you and I go to the supermarket, we swap. That's right. The supermarket have some things that I want, and you have some money that the supermarket owner want. You see, that's commerce, that's fair trade, and you know, there's not covetousness there, where we exchange things, or where a person possesses something, but he wants something else, and he wants it in a legitimate way. And as I've said, fair exchange. Look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 16, about the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, 16.
She considereth a field.
She considered it a field.
And buyeth it.
And what?
And buyeth it.
Yes, she purchased it.
With the fruit of her hands.
With the fruit of her hands. That's the exchange, you know, fair exchange.
She planted a vineyard.
She planted a vineyard. That's in the first place. That, in fact, you, those of you who have never made a study of this passage about the virtuous woman, it's a great passage, not only for women, sisters in the church to study thoroughly, but men, it's one of the great chapters in the entire Bible. Every theologian talk about this chapter and the virtuous woman. Even in college, professor will speak about this chapter. Great chapter on this woman, this wife, and the things that she would do to help situation or to complement her husband. You did read all the verse.
Okay. All of 16.
Okay, yes. But what you notice here is trade. What when the passage speaks about she bought a field, she planted. When she saw it in the first place, that's what she wanted it for. And from what the verse implied, it was some fair exchange deal that helped her to obtain this field. Now, all commerce is founded upon the desire to make fair exchange. All the business we see going on in society, big business, small business, it is based upon the accepted worldwide, we may call it by a thousand other names, but it's just really come down to fair exchange. You may have a car, I need a car, you have a car. We decide to engage in fair exchange. In fact, I may not even give you money, I may have a quarter acre land. And we go to the lawyer and enjoy agreement, truly. All commerce. Noble desire, honest desire, honorable desire is something to be encouraged. And there are honorable desire in various areas of life. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desire it a good thing. So desire that are above board, honest, in keeping with the will of God, is something that should be encouraged. But illicit desire, that is covetousness. That can come under where we have so much, but we are never satisfied. May come under we want everything that another person possess. Come under it doesn't matter how much God has given us, we still feel that we have been deprived. All that is covetousness. It is illicit desire. We should not desire that which the Almighty God has forbidden. The passage that was read in Kings, 1 Kings 21, is exactly on that point. So I repeat, we should not want, set our mind on, or desire illicit things, are things which the Almighty God has forbidden. This was the situation with Ahab and Naboth's vineyard. May I? It's one thing to see somebody have something and you like it, it's nice, but you don't want to deprive the person of it. You may want to get one for yourself one day. Nothing wrong with that. But it's when you see somebody with something that is good and nice, it's like you feel they shouldn't have it. And if there is a way you can get it from them without fear exchange, you will. Now that is sinful. That is covetousness. Just to see somebody with something that is nice and you feel one day you will get one or try it. Nothing wrong with that. Let us hear the passage again. 1 Kings chapter 21.
First
Kings 21 from verse 1.
And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria.
That means is field, and King Ahab's palace was adjoining. They were neighbors. What you gather so far is that Naboth took good care of his vineyard. What you gather too from the passage, it was inherited. Here is it. It was meant to pass on to other relatives. Mm-hmm. So it was not to be exchanged or to be sold. It was family legacy. Now, Ahab was the king. He could have almost whatever vineyard he wanted, or if he doesn't possess one, he could get piece of land and pay somebody to fix up his vineyard. Mm-hmm. He was the king.
Yeah.
Read on.
And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard.
Give me your vineyard.
That I may have it for a garden of herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is near unto my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it.
But my God, if it's better, then where you want the inferior one for? You see, sometimes we come up with reasoning that is full of hole.
Yeah.
Read on.
Or if it seems good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money.
Yes, if my better vineyard is not satisfactory to you, I will pay you a price.
Yeah.
Read on.
And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee.
That's verse 3?
Yep.
Yes. God forbid me that I should give my father's inheritance to you. And that was so in Israel.
Mm.
You couldn't just do what and what you want with inherited legacy. And this man, Naboth, respected, no doubt, he loved the vineyard. From all indication, it seems he took very good care of it. But there is not enough money in Israel to make him part with that. And that is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these days, we can't wait to sell what our parents left for us.
That's
Truly, I mean, you know, a lot of time the place has a lot of memories. Truly. When I go to my district, my mother, and many of you were at the funeral, was buried over her mother's funeral, over mother's land. That's where my great-grandmother was buried, my grandmother, and my mother. And even though none of us live over there, the house is rented out. Sometimes when I go there, like my brother and myself, we'll just go over and stand at the tomb and look. Now, my father and his brother, when in the early days they went to farm working and came back, they purchased a nice piece of land in the district. My younger brother, who returned from Canada, we laugh. He said he had come to take care of our mother, but that is a long story. Anyway, I'm glad he has come. He goes up ever so often. He has built a lovely house in our father's land. But what happened is that every time I go to the district now over my father's land and see, there's no less than about 3 big houses built on it now. That is just within the past 4 or 5 years, because how should I put it, that if you repeat it, you don't say the wrong. It's that one of the brothers took the initiative. I mean, I sort of go along with it. I was in no hurry to do it, because probably if it left up to me, it would be there. I love to go and just walk through it. It's a big piece of land from the main road going straight to Porus Mandible back to the parochial road. And I love to just walk in it, because it brought back a lot of childhood to me. And it is knees buried, this, that, all of which was planted by my father, arranged. And when I go, I love to just walk through. But now, I just own about 1/4 acre, which is a lot. I don't sell mine. Most of the other brothers and sisters sell theirs. And I said, if my father come back here and hear the type of money he would get for the little piece of land, he would come out angry. Truly. But it grieves me sometimes how the nice piece of land just cut up in pieces. And people build, as I've said, there's no less than 3 multi-million dollar houses built there. No, I mean, it's just alarming that within a 2-3 years, you know, people purchase from my 2 of my brother, my sister, and whatever. But mine is there. You know, what come to me is particular of my children is asking me not to sell it. And I keep telling them, when I'm broke, I'm going to sell it. But I hope that I don't have to sell it, truly. The point is, family legacy, it brings back memory. Both where my mother is buried and my father land, over my father's land, my great grandfather, my grandmother, my uncle, they are buried there. You can see why. In fact, when those of us who decided, okay, since you want to sell your lot, we decided to have a piece reserved for grave, that any of us want to be buried there, that piece of land is there. So the point, of course, come back down to Ahab and Naboth, is that some family land, it carries memory. And that is good. That is good. And this is exactly what Naboth was sharing with Ahab, that I cannot sell it. And God, when in verse 3 he said, the Lord, verse 3 again.
And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee.
Yes, when you read back in other parts of the Old Testament, this was God's law, that the land passed down from one person to another. Mm-hmm. But read on further.
And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite.
Brothers and sisters, this is naked, raw covetousness.
Amen.
The thing, Ahab, doesn't belong to you.
Amen.
You come with a heavy heart. Simply because the man, not only that he said he's not going to exchange it or sell it, he explained the reason that you, as an Israelite, should respect. This is naked covetousness.
Yeah.
That's going to lead to a lot of other sin. Haven't I read somewhere that covetousness is idolatry? Yes. That's what the New Testament says. Read on, brother.
And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the words which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him.
Mm-hmm.
For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father.
That's what pleased him, displeased the man.
Yeah.
And make him depressed.
Yeah.
Unhappy.
Yeah.
Read on.
And he lay him down upon his bed.
Mm-hmm.
And turned away his face.
Mm-hmm. You see, just like a little picnic just burned the other day. It's covetousness, you know. Lay down on his bed and turn his face to the wall.
And would eat no bread.
Can you believe that? All of what you see playing out here is covetousness. He would not eat. Read on.
But Jezebel, his wife, came to him.
She going to change the order of things.
Yeah.
That's right. Jezebel, his wife,
Came unto him. And said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad?
Honey, why are you so sad?
That thou eatest no bread.
That you would not even eat. Your appetite is gone.
And she said unto her.
And he said unto her.
Because I spake unto Naboth,
mm-hmm,
the Jezreelite,
mm-hmm,
and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for our money.
Mm-hmm.
Or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he answered, I will not give thee my
vineyard.
He's
relating to his wife. Sorry, to his evil wife. The exchange he had with Naboth about the man's vineyard. Mm-hmm. Read.
And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, doeth thou now govern the kingdom of Israel?
You see what the implication there? Man, get up and eat food. You forget that you are a king. That is, as king, you can do what you want.
Yeah.
As king, you can get what you want. As king, you can get it any way you want. That's the implication. It's good, it's a wonderful thing when husband and wife work together.
Yeah.
In fact, That's the way God wants the Christian marriage to be.
Amen.
I need to repeat that. That is the way God wants the Christian home, the Christian marriage to be. Husband and wife work together. Here's another point. God expects each to complement the other. In cooperation. But the Almighty God fixed it that the husband is the head of the home.
Amen.
Now, you know, it matters not how civilized we claim we are. It matters not how advanced society gets. Even when society and those who call themselves Christian reject that arrangement, it will still stand. God's arrangement that the husband be the head of the house. Somebody was telling me where the preacher was preaching and emphasizing that. Emphasizing what God says from Old to New Testament about the husband being the head of the house. And then after church, a smart sister point out to the preacher that, well, God made it that the head is controlled by the neck. The preacher just simply turn around and says, when the Bible speaks about the husband being the head of the house, it speaks nothing about neck. And that is a fact. That is a fact. Nothing about neck. In all the passages that speaks about the husband being the head of the house, none of those passages ever speak anything about the neck. We find so many devilish ways to get around what God says. But we cannot come up with anything to change that while husband and wife work together, cooperate, complement each other, consult each other. When a final say-so must take place, God placed that in the hands or the responsibility of the man. That's the way it is.
Amen.
And when Jezebel now want to instruct Ahab what to do, then whatever calamity Ahab going to suffer from following his evil wife, then he would have earned those calamity. Read on, brother.
And Jezebel his wife said unto him, doest thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread.
That's right.
And let thy...
Are you not the king over Israel?
Yeah.
And of course, Ahab agreed. She said, get up, man, and let me feed you.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And let thine heart be merry.
Let your heart be merry.
I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite.
What should Ahab do right then? He should turn to his wife and say, Jezebel, it's not for you to give. Because it was not for Jezebel to give. It was Naboth, and he had made the decision on solid ground that he cannot part with that land for Jezebel to come and advise Ahab that she will give the land to him and he's the head of his house. Of course, he wasn't. His wife was the head of the house. And wherever you have that, you're going to have problems. Did somebody, everybody heard me? Wherever you have, in the godly home, the husband permit his wife to be the head, you are going to have problem. Why? We can never reap God's blessing and guidance when we put up resistance against what he says.
No.
Brothers and sisters, we must keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Truly. We cannot ask God to bless us in those areas where we reject what he says.
No.
That's barefacedness. Don't expect God to bless your home, to bless your marriage, and to bless your decision when what he says, you go by it only when it pleases you. But when it displeases you, you just throw it one side. Don't expect God's blessing.
No.
Truly. It was out of this situation that Jezebel going to have the owner, Naboth, killed. Barefaced murder to get the man's land. I pointed out, or rather, inordinate desire is covetousness. When we have desire that is out of control, that is covetousness. Notice this. Some things are lawful without limit. I'm going to explain that, but let me repeat. Some things are lawful without limit. There are some things, when you take them to their extreme, they are still lawful. There is no limit on them. Some things are lawful. In fact, I'm going to discuss the 2 points. I'm not sure that tonight. But let me explain again that some things are lawful. They are right, they are acceptable in the sight of God and man, even in their limitlessness. For example, the love of God. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell, by the love of God? The love that we are to have for God. If you or I love the Almighty God without any limit, there is nothing that we wouldn't do for God. That is lawful. It is one of the, not just the love of God. Service to God, that also is one of those things that it is lawful without any limit. There is no limit placed on us loving God. None. There is no limit placed on the service you and I can give to God. None. Work out, as country people would say, work out your soul case for God. And that is okay. Truly. Truly. Work until you die for the cause of God, for the cause of Christ. Because, you see, the Almighty God is worthy of all that we have and can give. God is worthy. No limit should be put on anything that we can or do give to the Almighty God. So those are areas in which they are lawful without any limit. We can never love God too much. Let us run to St. John 14, 15. St. John 14, 15.
If ye love me, keep my commandments.
Verse 23.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Mm-hmm. Notice all these are expressing Romans chapter 13, verse 10, Galatians 5, 14.
Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Mm-hmm. That is Romans chapter 13, verse 10, Galatians chapter 5, 14.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
And what all the law is fulfilled, and what Paul is saying here, If you could practice this loving your neighbor as yourself. And while this is easy to be said, to be read, loving someone as you love yourself is a challenge. That's right. We do love, and we can love. But this kind of love, love is someone as you love yourself, it's easier said than done. Yet this is the type of love to which we are challenged by Christianity. So, just another point. The knowledge of God is another of those things which are lawful without limit. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ, of God's will. You cannot place limit on how much knowledge you need to have of God, and you can say, well, I can stop here. No. The knowledge of God, it is lawful without limit. You spend your entire life, morning, noon, and night, trying to know God, know His will, understand His will, put His will to memory, and all your life you spend on that, it would have worth it.
Yeah.
And there's no point in that at which you could say, you know, I'm giving too much to this. No. You cannot give too much to the knowledge of the Almighty God. The other era will be picked up. Remember, I have just said, some things are lawful without limit. The other point to this, which will not be discussed tonight, is other things are lawful in measure. You see, some things are lawful without limit. There is no limit place on how far you can go with those things. I've just listed two or three of these things. But then the other side to that, which will be taken up another time, is other things are lawful in measure. That is, they are lawful within a particular limit. Whenever you and I go outside the limit within which they are lawful, then we sin against God. But that will be taken up in another lesson. And thank you for your time.